Well, good evening. We're glad you're here tonight. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're well stocked. We haven't started that process, but we might have to. So this is a short one. If you have the need to go shopping afterwards or find more toilet paper, I really wanted to make sure you have a little more time tonight. So before it's over, know it's going to be quick. So I hope that helps you pay attention more. We continue to talk about, and I've told you every month I will talk about our four goals and three of those at a time, 3 months of each of those. So we're on our first goal of the year, to connect, to be one. And I just recently, it's kind of not fair, we planned this out. You go from the helping and the fellowship meals in the 20s and 30s group, and then the next month is the 40s and 50s group. So I did the 20s and 30s and then turned 40. And now I'm helping in the 40 and 50 group. So, man, it's just a realization that time is passing on, whether I want it to or not, it is. And if you're young and you're laughing, you better be quiet because you just got older while you laughed at that. So, but I hope you think about this time. Like Larry said this morning, he wrote his a few weeks ago. I started this a few weeks ago. And it's amazing how God works out what we need to hear and when. And I think that's one of the things that fits tonight when we're about to have a lot of time on our hands, maybe. And maybe things are shutting down and slowing down in your life, and you start thinking about time. The clock is slower for you, maybe, than it normally has been. And so time may be something that you begin to think about. So I want to talk about tonight this connection that we have to be one, this goal that we need to realize. And here's the reality of it. It's never going to happen without the investment of our time. You cannot be one. You will not connect with each other without the investment of time. You know, you can give things your approval. You can give it your support. You can give it your money. But it's always going to require your time. And there's something about time. Time is the most valuable thing that we have to give to someone else. I want you to think about that. It is the most valuable thing we have to give to someone else. It is a commodity that we can't buy anywhere. You're not going to go to a store and find time. You can't earn it. You didn't achieve it somehow. It's not even really ours. Think about that. Time, you've heard this phrase in life, it's borrowed time. Why do we say that? Because it is. We're borrowing every second of time from God, right? Time is this continual free gift from God. Every single breath we take is one more gift of time. And God gives it to us. It's not ours. We borrow it. At the end of life, you've often heard people say what they wish they had the most. It wasn't things or money or more achievements. It was more time. They finally get this clarity at the end of life. The one thing that was the most valuable to them and should be to us is our time. They look back and they regret how they spent their time. And maybe that's working too much or staying in one place too long or one situation too long or not finishing something or starting something. But it's this regret over time. And when people leave your lives, maybe it's just forever or maybe they move to a new place and they begin something new. One thing we want with them is more time. And I tell our seniors that every year. I wish I had more time with them. And I feel that immensely with every person that I've lost in my life too early. I wish I had more time. If we know this, then why do we waste so much time doing things that do not matter? Why do we spend so much time of our lives committed to things that have nothing to do with our eternity? Literally nothing. And I want you to be very honest with yourself tonight about the way you spend your time. What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your time giving to what? And do you look at your time as a gift that you're able to give to others? Because time is the most valuable thing that we have to give to someone else. Tonight I want to look into the life of Jesus some, and I want to see how he connected with people. I want to look at the types of people that Jesus practiced his goal of unity with. What ways did he do that? How did Jesus show people how important they were to him? How did Jesus use this investment of time to mold the lives of those that he was around? And I want you to notice what Jesus did while he was here. That's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. Jesus doesn't just give us life. He gives us his time. If you're around young kids, I hope you probably noticed this around very young kids. They love to spend time with you, right? What is the one thing they want you to do? They want you to play with them. And they come and they come to you and they grab your hand and they say, come with me. And they've got something in mind they want to do together. They want to build a fort. They want you to read them a book. They want you to, you know, they just want your time. And I don't think this desire goes away as you get older. I think we as all people want other people to value us. How is that shown? Well, the most valuable indication to us about how people feel about us is them giving their time to us, because that's precious to them. They cannot get it back. It is costly to them. And I wonder about all this time that Jesus spends on earth, about all the hours that he played with his siblings, his friends, all the time he must have spent with his dad helping him build something, all the time he helped his mom in the house, all the time he sat at the feet of teachers being trained in the law, all of the time that he spent worshiping with his family or observing these Jewish feasts commanded by the law of God. The time we know he took to be tempted in the wilderness on purpose. So we can say we have a high priest who suffered the way that he did. In John chapter 4, if you want to begin turning over there, we know he spends his time. It says he had to go to Samaria. What an interesting verse in John chapter 4. One of my favorite chapters about Jesus. And he comes to the well and he's talking to her about food. You know, I think that's neat that I and Jesus both like to talk about food. And he's talking to them about eternal food and living water and the kingdom of heaven. And at the end of his account in John chapter 4, as he's talked to this woman for a while, and as the disciples come back, we're starting in verse 39, we find this. The request for more time. He says in verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him, and because of the woman's testimony, he told me all that I ever did. So the Samaritans came to him and they asked him, stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more people believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And after 2 days, he departed for Galilee. What a huge thing for Jesus, a Jewish teacher, to stay in a Samaritan village for 2 days. Not just to pass through it, which is unheard of, not just to sit at the well and talk to a woman that he knows people ignore, but then to stay for 2 days to teach them. It says he welcomes the crowd. He took time with the crowd around him, have compassion on them. And he wants them to see the power and the glory of God. He wants them to understand the kingdom of heaven. And he wants them to know they're loved by God, they're called out of the world, and he wants them to be a people who he will redeem, not just the Jews, but all of mankind. So he spends time doing that, explaining that. How many moments does he give to those around him? In Luke chapter 15, verse 2, it says, this man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. It took time. He gave sinners his time. He gave his enemies his time. He gives the misled religious leaders his time. He gave tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, demon-possessed people, those who are outcast and overlooked in the world of his time. He gave his Father his time. I love this verse in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "In rising very, very early in the morning, while it's still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He just finished the day before staying up late and healing people and giving one person after another his time. His disciples finally send the crowd away, and it says why it's dark. He gets up and he goes and spends time with his Father in prayer. Jesus knew prayer was an important way to spend his time. I painted this painting. It hangs in a church in Searcy. And I imagined this scene as I painted and read this verse. And Jesus knew his connection that he had to the Father and the Spirit were so important. So he makes time for it, even if it meant getting up early to do it. You know, we have so many public prayers of Jesus. We have even some of his last prayers, and he spends hours praying before the cross. And I imagine he could have been sleeping. He could have been physically preparing for what would the cross take out of him. But instead he spends time praying, being spiritually strengthened, because he knows that's more important. So he spends time praying. The largest amount of time we see him spending is pouring into these 12 men. And Jesus spends 3 years in close proximity to them, with them almost every day. And outside of this circle, you have another group of people and followers that were around him they interacted with very often. People we read about like Mary and Martha and Lazarus and others. But he calls these 12 and he invites them to spend time with him. Not just a very quick interaction. 3 years, night and day almost. When you were called on that day by a rabbi, by a teacher, you stayed with them. You slept when they slept. You ate when they ate. You traveled with them. You listened and sat down when they talked. You spent time with them. They invested in you. And that's the commitment that they make to you. And without this investment of time, we don't make disciples. And Jesus needed to model that for us. He needed us to see that. It's the same for us. If we want to make disciples today, it's not a one-time quick Bible study. It's this investment of time to continue to help people grow and mature and to learn and grow in their knowledge, teach them how to serve and serve alongside them, and then equip them to teach other people. And he's doing this with his disciples. He's developing their abilities and their confidence. He sends them out together, because he knows that time is the most valuable thing that we have to give to someone else. What is this time that Jesus spends with them? What does it produce in these 12 men? If you look over in the book of Acts, and we go from the Gospels and see how they interacted and the things he's had them do and what he teaches them and the time and the lessons they needed to learn, even up to the end, who is the greatest? And they're arguing about that at the very end. He says, serve each other as I am serving you. What does this produce in them? In Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, after they've gone through this establishment of the church, they start doing the work that Jesus has trained them to do, and then they begin to be noticed by other people around them. They begin to get arrested. And these are some of the things that we have mentioned about them. I love this verse in Acts chapter 4. He says, as they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they understood these are uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed. And they began to recognize they had been with Jesus. Jesus spent time with them, and that was something that was recognized by other people around them. Jesus is still willing to spend time with us. Others need to know that we have been around Jesus. They need to tell you have been spending time with Jesus. Can they? If they looked at your life. You know, people might be able to tell if you spend time watching all the latest movies, all the shows, all the TikTok videos, so you can understand all the latest inside social jokes. They may be able to tell that. People might be able to tell if you spend time practicing your favorite sport because of how good you are at it. People may be able to tell how much time you've spent in the gym because of how fit you are. They can tell that. People might be able to tell how long you've spent investing in your career because of how successful you are at it. But does any of that matter? If they can't tell that we have spent time with Jesus. Time is the most valuable thing that we have to give to someone else. Give your time to God. Invest it in His kingdom. Invest it in the lives of others. You go a little farther in the book of Acts. In chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, they returned to Antioch, and look what it says. When they arrived and they gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. This wasn't a quick report. We're here today. We're leaving in the morning. They spent a long time with them on purpose for their sake, because Jesus had spent a long time with them. And they knew it was needed to help develop this deep faith in them like Jesus had developed in their life. We know that Paul becomes an apostle and he's spends time with Jesus. He's completely changed. He's out there for himself. That's what he was doing. He was zealous for God, but it really wasn't about that. It was about promoting himself, his name, his reputation, his arrest record. And don't we get caught up doing some of those kind of things with our time? Maybe not arresting people, obviously, but living for us. Don't we do what we're passionate about and not necessarily what God is passionate about? Maybe we spend your time working on projects or promotion or your name, your legacy, develop your talents. And our time, it gets misplaced. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves at the end of life with nothing but regret over wasted time. So this is the end. What do we do with our time? I love what Paul tells Titus in the book of Titus. He gives him several verses starting in chapter 2, in verse 7 and 8. He says, "And you yourself must be an example to them. By doing good works of every kind, let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized and those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures, and we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, devotion to God, while we look forward with the hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds." Man, He's given you so much to do with your time. Totally committed to doing good deeds, being an example to those of every good work of every kind, and reflecting in your life the integrity, the seriousness of what you believe and what you teach. He says, let God's grace be revealed to people through you by the way you spend your time, because time is the most valuable thing that we have to give to someone else. We need to be people who are busy giving our time to others. We need to fill our life with using this time and invest in other people, serving God and men. That when God says, put down the pencil, the test is over, you have no regrets laying it down, knowing you have given all that you had to give. I hope tonight you've got a good look at your time, that you have a good understanding of maybe in this downtime that we're about to have or do have, that you look at the things in the life that you're doing. And you ask yourself, how do I need to adjust my time? Am I using my time, the very precious gift that God gives me, what am I doing with it for Him? If you need that reminder tonight, if you need help with that commitment, the opportunity is yours to respond. If you need help in other ways, maybe it's the time to begin your walk with God, and you want to do that tonight. We can help you in any way. We ask that you come as we stand and sing this song.